Chapter 4. Dad drove me to the game on Saturday. It was quiet in the dressing room, and I knew the guys were wondering how it was going to be taking on the Cadillacs without Ryan. I was wondering, too. Neil was dressed first and pacing around the dressing room. "We'll just have to pick up the slack," he said, trying to sound convincing. "Ryan's not the only one with a good shot, and Joel and the rest of the wingers can still feed the centers." We nodded, but with little enthusiasm. Neil glanced once towards the door and whispered, "Besides, everybody took their stuff last night, didn't they?" The guys nodded, and I looked down. I'd stopped taking it as part of my agreement with Lee's. Neil continued, "Have we ever lost a game on the stuff?" "Never," replied Justin. "Well then, we're not going to start now, are we?" The guys murmured amongst themselves. "That's right," agreed Carl. "We've got something to prove to the Cadillacs anyways." "All we have to do is shut down their big gun," said Neil. "Number 5, what's his name?" At that moment, Coach Knowles burst through the door, grinning. "Good news, lads," he said. "Dan Keller's out with the flu. He's Cadillac's leading scorer, number 5. Neil let out a whoop as a new wave of enthusiasm flooded the dressing room. "Justin will center for Joel and Dave for the first face-off," began Knowles. "But after that, I'll be mixing things up." He brought out his clipboard and launched into his pregame strategy speech. "You forwards, you're going to be doing some double shifting this game, so save some legs." I watched the other forwards, Justin, Neil, Dave, Pete, Scott, Jared, and Red. Picking up the slack for Ryan wasn't going to be easy, but the guys looked determined. It was like the stuff made them feel invincible or something. I gave Knowles my full attention. We certainly seemed invincible in the first 5 minutes. Neil intercepted a pass, stick handled through their defense, and laid it up perfectly to Jared, who blasted 1 point blank past the goalie. But Smithers, the Cadillacs' right winger, took advantage of Scott's tripping penalty, decked Adrian on the blue line, and found the 5-hole with a nice little wrist shot. 1-1. The play went from end to end at a frantic pace, and Knowles was making line changes on the fly. We managed quite a few shots on net, but only 2 decent ones, and Horvath, the Cadillacs' goalie, nabbed both of them with his glove hand. Jordy was solid in our net, blocking all their shots, including O'Neill's breakaway, and literally throwing himself from one side of the net to the other to prevent a wraparound goal in the last few seconds of the period. We skated for the dressing room with a 1-1 tie. Coach Knowles glanced over the stats for the first period while we caught our breaths and poured Gatorade down our throats. "It's pretty even, boys, and it looks like it will be right down to the buzzer," he advised us. "The ref seems a little reluctant to use his whistle, so it's going to be a matter of fitness in the end." I could hear Dad shouting words of encouragement as we paraded onto the ice. Usually I went on right before Ryan, but tonight I was the last one out. I took a few warm-up laps and then skated to my place on the center line. Coach Knowles had been right. The referee let the play go on whenever possible, and except for the odd offside and icing call, we just kept on skating end-to-end. About 3/4 of the way through the second period, Smithers brought me down with a stick around the knees. The crowd screamed for a penalty and got it. Neil and Dave and I were out for the power play, did some fancy passing in their zone before I put a quick wrist shot to the top stick side corner. We were up 2-1. It was the big break we needed. The momentum started to shift. We got 3 more shots, and quickly and only some brilliant goaltending kept the Cadillacs in the game. That's when things started to get a little chippy. A check with an elbow thrown in, or the stick carried a little high on skate by. The guys were complaining on the bench, but the referee was turning a blind eye. I guess he figured we were only a few minutes left to go in the period, so why get whistle-happy at the last stage? With just seconds to go, Neil went into the corner behind the Cadillacs' goal with one of their big defensemen, a guy nicknamed Renegade. Renegade checked Neil hard. He went down but managed to freeze the puck. The whistle sounded just as the buzzer signaled the end of the period. Dave and I skated towards Neil. Renegade and their other defensemen were uttering ugly threats. Neil pushed them away and took off his helmet. He was bleeding just above his eye where his cage had come unhooked and cut into him. Dave skated in just as Renegade stuck his face in Neil's, and I could tell the tempers were running high. So could the linesman, who promptly sent us all to our dressing rooms. Coach Knowles cleaned Neil's cut and put some pressure on it to stop the bleeding. "It's not so bad," he said reassuringly. "Head wounds always bleed a lot." "I'd like to give him a head wound," Neil muttered under his breath, and the guys agreed. "It's getting a bit dirty out there," acknowledged Knowles. "They're starting to tire, and it's a way to slow the game down." "Tell me about it," said Red, rubbing his ribs. "I caught a butt end, not to mention the elbows and the knees." "Why doesn't that bloody ref use that whistle?" groaned Justin. Coach Knowles finished bandaging Neil. "Look at you guys. You can't do anything about the ref, right? All you can do is keep skating. Eventually, they'll either lose their legs or the ref will have to call something." He paused and let his words sink in. "We're not going out there to throw elbows and wave sticks around. We're going out there to play hockey." I leaned my head back against the wall and wondered what Ryan was doing. I could feel my legs in the warm-up. Noel sent Dave, Justin, and I out with Theo and Tony on defense. I caught up in the traffic in the front of the net when Theo let a hard slap shot go from the point. I went in. Horvath was furious. He'd been completely screened. We were up 3-1. If we could just hang on for the rest of the period. But our goal just seemed to energize the Cadillacs, and 4 minutes later, the right winger, McMillan, drove to the net and let a bullet rip. It hit Jordy in the neck and bounced back out in front of the net. The left winger tucked the rebound in behind Jordy, and suddenly it was 3-2. Coach Knowles called a timeout. I was panting like a dog, and there was still 13 minutes to go. I poured the Gatorade in and tried to dig deep like Knowles was suggesting. Play went end-to-end for the next 9 minutes with only a handful of whistles. The Cadillacs won an icing face-off in our zone, and the point man opted to shoot, raising the puck just a few inches. Unfortunately, Dave deflected it over Jordy's shoulder, leaving us tied 3-3 with only a few minutes left in the game. Halfway through my next shift, I opted for an early change. My legs were throbbing now, and I found myself watching the clock, willing the seconds to tick away. Our line was waiting to change up when Scott got leveled from behind. A late hit by Renegade. We heard the crack of Scott's helmet on the ice and jumped the boards as the whistle blew. I remember thinking that the whole thing happened in slow motion. Neil was on top of Renegade before the guy had gained his balance. The two of them went down so hard in front of the goal, and in seconds, the other defenseman had jumped in with Pete. I could hear Noel screaming at us to stay out, but within moments, the teams had squared off. Alex and one of their wingers were half-tangled, but the rest of us were just dancing around with a Cadillac. I'd squared off with Smithers, who didn't really look like he wanted to fight. I felt the same way. The referee and linesman managed to separate Neil and Renegade. Scott was still on the ice, sitting up and looking dazed. Pete and one of the Cadillac's defensemen were still toe-to-toe and bare-fisted, having just been priced apart by a linesman. Insults were being thrown around, but the fists had stopped flying. We skated to our respective benches and waited for the ref to dish out the penalties. Neil and Pete, along with two of the Cadillacs, were given 5-minute majors and game misconducts. Renegade got an extra 2 minutes for cross-checking. Alex and the Cadillacs' defenseman he tangled with got minus for roughing, and the rest of us, including Coach Knowles, were given a stern talking to about bench-clearing brawls. I thought about telling the ref that none of this would have happened if he had known what the whistle was for 2 periods ago, but I didn't think now was the appropriate moment. Play resumed. For 2 minutes, Dave, Justin, and Red went out on our man advantage. Despite a few good opportunities, they couldn't get the puck by Horvath. Our enthusiasm seemed to be waning. The period ended without any scoring, and we dragged ourselves off the ice, lucky to get away with a tie. Coach Knowles didn't have much to say after the game. He wasn't big on fighting, and he always said that only the weak lost their temper. Dad was more philosophical about the whole thing and thought an occasional fight was a good team-building exercise. I'm not sure Pete would have agreed. His eye was swollen shut and had already turned purple by the time we'd left the arena. I was just exhausted and glad it was over. My whole body ached by the time we got home, and even a hot shower didn't seem to help. Lee's made me a cup of hot chocolate and said that Ryan had called 3 times while I was in the shower. "At least you'll have lots to tell him," said Dad, "and you guys still haven't lost in 8 games." Ryan was ready to jump through the phone by the time I reached him. "Did you win?" "Tied." "At least you didn't lose," he waited. "Well?" I wasn't sure where to begin, but I figured the beginning was a pretty good place. He was full of questions, but my head was pounding by the time we got to the third period. "Look," I said, "I gotta go. I'm absolutely beat." Ryan chuckled. "Serves you right for cheating on your stamina lapse." I couldn't believe that I hadn't even told him about the fight, but I hung up and dragged myself to bed. I felt like I'd been beaten to a pulp. Dad checked in on me a few minutes later. "Hey, Joel, you look like you're burning up." He put one hand on my forehead. "I'll get you some water. I bet you've got the flu, like half the office."